Sunday to everyone. Always a privilege to be up here. You will probably hear that I'm definitely a little bit under the weather, but God is still good. God's plan, God's works, God it always has victory at the end of it, right? No matter what. And this is actually a little bit of what we're going to be discussing today. But let's just get into start off in a word of prayer. God, we're just so thankful for this day, because this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. We just are excited to be here, Lord. We know that no matter what, Lord, victory is in your name, Lord. And we're just so thankful, even though it's Palm Sunday and it was a bittersweet time, we're still going to reflect on you, Lord. We're still going to give you all the praise and the glory, Lord, because we know what you did for us, Lord. We know, as the brother said earlier, that there is still, that you are the eternal King, Lord. You are the risen King, Lord, despite everything you went through. And we're just so thankful for that, Lord. So we just want to bring all these things before you, Lord. We're just thankful for who you are in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. So before I even get started, just want to let you all know that we are starting a young people's meeting. I usually got to give like a quick like synopsis of that whenever I come up here. You know, we are getting started pretty much with what would be in-person ministry, because the reality is, like, we did it last year in 2021, but the, you know, and we got like up to about 15 people on like a good meeting on Zoom, which is like still pretty like it's a success for us, you know what I mean, in comparison to, you know, what we were, the numbers that we were getting when we were in person before the pandemic. But the reality is, like, these people want to be in person, you know? So we're trying to, you know, we're working to try to get that started. We're doing a lot of planning. We were fortunate enough to get to come to find a whole bunch of phone numbers for a lot of the people that were at the last camp that we had. So the work that we're trying to do now is just by calling people and trying to just reach out and market and just do whatever we can to let people know that we're going to be here. So that's young people's meeting. Of course, you know, any questions, it's not easy work, but any questions, concerns, you know, tips and advice, you know, let myself, Javier, Ricky know, okay? All right, amen. So we're going to start off in Luke chapter 19, which is one of the few, one of the very, you know, famous portions of scripture for this particular Sunday, being Palm Sunday. And we know this story. We know this story. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it's just a bittersweet time, right? We know that it's a bittersweet time because, you know, there's celebration going on. There's, you know, as Jesus is making his way into Jerusalem, there was like a whole bunch of politics going on at that same time around Jerusalem, you know, and of course, the fact that, you know, right where Jesus was, right, amongst him, amongst his followers, there was a lot going on, right? It's jam-packed. So without reading the whole thing, I'm just going to go piece by piece just for the sake of time. Actually, we're doing pretty good on time this week. All right, so we'll go through it. After telling this story, all right, I'm in verse 28. After telling this story, Jesus went on towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks why you are untying the colt, just say the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt, and just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? Verse 34. And Jesus and the disciples simply replied, Lord, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. And as he rode along, the crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. He replied, If they keep quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. Verse 41. As he came to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today you of all people will understand the way to peace, but now it is too late and peace is hidden from your eyes. This is the Lord's word. I pray that he add his richest blessing for his name's sake. So it's very interesting, and because of that, I'm titling this particular sermon, Which Side Are You On? Now, when we start from verse 28, I'm going to let you all know, right? I like facts. I like data. I like analytics. I like, financial, I need to see the numbers in order to make plans, right? The numbers is what tells me that I'm making a good plan. It's what supports any kind of decision that I want to make, right? I have to see the numbers, comparisons, you know what I mean? So I know not everybody might be like that, right? But the thing is, I know for a fact that most people, if I ask you to do something and it does not seem ordinary, right, you are at least going to ask me why, right? You still need to have some kind of reason for that. But the thing is, for us as believers, right, what if it's part of the bigger picture, God's bigger picture? What if that plan, what if these tasks that we're supposed to be doing, that we're working on, is all part of God, a bigger picture that God has for us, but we can't see it yet, right? So then that's where it begins, right? And of course, there's so many different ways, and I went down a whole rabbit hole, just studying just these particular verses, because it was so dense in information and just stuff that you can get out of it. But we're going to read verse 29, right? So it continues. As he came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead and go into that village over there. He told them, as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here, right? If anyone asks why you are untying that colt, just say the Lord needs it. I don't know. Surely, if you have social media, if you've seen America's Funniest Home Videos, you're on WhatsApp, you get videos sent to you. I mean, we've seen the funny, silly things that can happen with animals, right? That are trained, right? They still do very silly things, even though they're trained, right? And you teach them as best to your ability. But in this situation, the request is for the disciples to go into a nearby village, right? And get a young donkey, right? That it specifically says has not been ridden before, right? The intent is for God, is for Christ to ride into Jerusalem on this donkey, but it's never been ridden before. Typically, right, these animals are usually very tense, okay? Depending on who's around them, you know what I mean? If they're not familiar with who you are, you can't just get on an unridden donkey, right? And just start walking on it, you know? Start sitting on it and then just start walking. It's very interesting how God is using his disciples to do certain tasks, right? Now, here's the other part of it, right? Back in those days, the donkey, okay, or a horse, the beast, some people might say, they're used for labor, right? So for farming purposes, agricultural purposes. So if you're not riding this particular beast, the donkey, the horse, right, you're using it because this is how you make your money, right? This is a valuable item. That's just the pure and simple truth. So it's two things. He's asking the disciples to go and get this unridden donkey, right? It's from an owner who we don't have any knowledge that they already know who the owner is, right? So if I'm asking somebody, any of you, to go and get a lawnmower from Brother Wilson's backyard, but don't tell him anything. Just go and get it, right? Go take one of his cars and bring it here to me so I could use it, right? There might be an issue. He's a nice guy, but there still might be an issue, right? This was the request, right? This is something that I can learn. This is something that I can learn, you know, as of right now, because we see that there's no hesitation at all, right? Verse 32. So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, they were untying it. The owners came and asked them, "Why are you untying that colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." This happened. this happened, right? Now, biggest learning curve for me, because the thing is, like I said, I need some kind of concrete information before I go and make some, you know, and carry out some kind of request, right? Like this. But the thing is, right, how often do we forget that when God is making these requests, there's always victory associated with it, right? There's always victory. There's always success. That's part of this plan, right? But the thing is, you know, we're people. We're us as people, you know what I mean? We still have these reservations, right? And the thing is, like, the interesting thing is, we say it all the time, you know, it's either God will send people or he'll send himself to go and carry out these tasks, right? But the other side of it, there's something that's very interesting, right? Believers. On the other side of it, when we're doing these tasks, right, and we're delaying or we ignore these tasks, one thing that we don't consider is the bigger picture for these tasks, right? And the fact that if we are not doing exactly what it is that God is requesting, that there's potentially people, tons and tons of people who we are potentially preventing from seeing Christ. That's the other side of it. And the thing is, the Lord's work is important. It's not something that we can take for a joke. It's something that's very serious. So, question again, and that's the title of my message. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? Verse 35. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. Now, this part in Mark, Matthew, John, this is the part now where we see Youth Sunday. Youth Sunday. Today's Youth Sunday. It's Youth Sunday today. Palm Sunday, right? Because this is where they start to describe where, you know, they're entering towards Jerusalem, right? And everyone is taking out the palm branches, right? And waving it and throwing it on the floor where he's walking, right? On this donkey. Now, in those other versions, this is where we see that this is the big picture. This is where the big picture is revealed to them, because as it was mentioned earlier, Zechariah, the prophet, had mentioned that, you know, I think it was in, chapter 9, where this is something that would happen. Now, this was, the interesting thing is, God, Jesus knew this, right? But, you know, they didn't remember until that particular moment, right? They got that, it was revealed to them at that particular moment, right? Now, here's the thing, right? Things get really interesting here, primarily because he was fulfilling a prophecy that was prophesied, like, if not hundreds, but like thousands of years ago, right? And the thing is, for us as believers, like, it's just so interesting sometimes. You know, I was thinking about just how sometimes we neglect the fact that, like, look, in this example, he's fulfilling old prophecy, right? That's like hundreds or thousands of years old, right? And then we still neglect to think sometimes that our issues for tomorrow or for this week might not get solved. Jesus' name has victory in it. No matter what, there's success in his name. It's very interesting. So you see, and then like right after this, things get really interesting because we see that there's two types of people, right? So as we read verse 36, going over to 38. As he rode along, the crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Now, there's two types of people here. And the thing is, this kind of goes back to the politics and just the environment that this currently was in, right? Jesus knew, right? Because later on we see that Jesus starts crying as he's walking through Jerusalem, right? But Jesus knew that some of these people that were cheering him on, right, basically had their own reasons, right? Everybody has their own reasons. And it's something that's very like real and I guess natural, I guess, for some people. But people saw him right now, currently as a king, as a prophet, as a miracle worker, based on all the things that they saw him doing, right? And his ministry, his work, it was gaining influence and followers better than like any social media, any YouTube account. He was getting views all over the place, right? But the thing is, people knew that he knew that they had their own reasons, right? Surrounding Jerusalem, quick background, surrounding Jerusalem, the Roman Empire was conquering a whole bunch of the cities around Jerusalem, right? And they were slowly making their way towards Jerusalem. They were making attempts, you know, slowly but surely coming around. And at that time, Jerusalem was like this well-built out city. Like it was, I mean, if you see it, like it's like built with, you know, as a fortress, stones around the cities. And then there was like cities within inside Jerusalem itself that had stones, you know, surrounding those individual cities. It's really interesting if you want to get into that. But overhead, there were still rumors and news that the Roman Empire was coming, you know, in attempt to take Jerusalem. right? This was like an actual thing that's going on. So now Jesus is coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, right? And people are seeing him based on everything that they heard, all the things that they've seen him do. And they're thinking, you know, a good portion of them, I'm sure, were thinking that this guy is going to come and help us and save us, right? But once again, it's like, there's the bigger picture, right? Jesus knew of this stuff that was going on, but for him, he had a bigger picture in his mind, which was the battle against sin. That was the reality of it, you know? So we see that there's two people. These were the people that were cheering him on, right? Throwing the branches on the floor, waving it in front of him. And then we see the other side of it, which is more interesting than these current people that I'm talking about. Because in verse 39 and 40, right, we see, where is 39? But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher," imagine this, "rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He replied, which is like probably one of the coolest responses I've probably ever seen in a while, right? He replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." I kind of wish he did tell the people to kind of be quiet, because like this is like the first rock concert that we probably would have seen at this point in time, right? You know, he prevented that, you know? What do stones sing, you know? But this is what he said, and it's the two types of people that I'm talking about. Because these are the people who are cheering for him, and then the Pharisees in this particular situation were the people who saw all of these things, heard all of these things, but were still against them. Very interesting. But this is still like no different from like modern day people, right? Right? Like one way or another, there's people who still hear, they see the gospel, but they're against it, which is very interesting, right? But I will say, as to about us as believers, right? And this is exactly what the Pharisees did. They couldn't help but to continue observing Jesus. They opposed him, but they were still keeping an eye out. They still wanted to see what he was doing. And this is very much accurate for like us, right? When we go into like the work environment, like, or like just in our daily lives, Brother Greenwich is always smiling. Why is he always so happy? You know, and then it's either like that type of person, or you have a person that's just like, yeah, like it's so cool that Brother Greenwich is always smiling, right? There's something different, because the thing is, Jesus is not of this world, right? We are not supposed to be of this world. We're here, but we have a higher calling. And because of that, people are always going to want to see what we're doing. It's just the plain and simple truth. So I thought that was very interesting, because the thing is, it's encouraged that we be different. It's totally fine, because the fact that we're Christians, we are not of this world. People are going to watch us. They're going to observe us. But because they want to see what we're going to do, usually it's to see us fail. But no matter what, we could just keep that smile on our face, because once again, we have victory behind us. We have that foundation behind us, right? I thought that was so once again, the question is, whose side are you on? I'm almost done. So let's read. Let's continue reading. We're finishing early today. Verses 41. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw ahead, he began to weep. "How I wish today you of all people would understand the way to peace, but now it is too late and peace is hidden from your eyes," right? once again, the bigger picture, you know, is what Jesus was crying about, right? Because they didn't currently see Jesus coming to Jerusalem for that particular purpose, right? But Jesus knew that, you know, there was the time coming where he would pretty much be crucified. And he knew that it was for our sins, right? For their sins, that particular time, all the way until now for us, right? And I just want to say, like, you know, I give credit to us, definitely, because, I mean, can you just imagine, like, this is like hundreds and hundreds of years later, right? Us here now in 2022, you know, and there were people back then who saw all of these things, right? They were in his midst, right? Seeing all of these works, and they still didn't believe what was going on. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to give us credit, because at least we have Christ, you know, presented to us, you know, from the teaching of the Bible. And then it's us, right? It's like we have the church and it's us who are pumping each other on, right? But these people were like in his midst. Isn't it interesting? You know what I mean? So I definitely want to mention, like, look, there's always a bigger picture, but it's making sure that you're on the right side of that picture. Whose side are you on? And at that point in time, it was the battle against sin. And then we learn, you know, unfortunately, that, you know, in verses 43, before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not accept your opportunity for salvation. And, you know, years later, I think at that point in time, this was like 30 AD. And it's well documented for anyone who's interested in and really wants to, like, learn about, you know, just all that took place coming up to the Roman Empire coming to Jerusalem. But it was a real thing. And Jesus saw this and he knew exactly what was in store for the city that he was currently in. But he had a bigger picture. He had a bigger battle that he was trying to fight. And that is the battle for us. So I'm going to close here. God, I'm just so thankful that we are here, Lord, on your side, Lord. We are looking for your plan, Lord, because no matter what, we know that your plan is better than any plan that we could properly construct. I don't care if we're going to, like, PhD level planners and budgeters and financiers, Lord. They just don't add up to you, Lord. And we're just so thankful that no matter what, Lord, you're just so inclusive to us, Lord. You're just so faithful to us, Lord. No matter what, Lord, even though we know for a fact that we don't deserve it, these same people were screaming, "Crucify him!" less than a week later, Lord. And you still love them, Lord. You still love us. I pray that you continue to watch over us, guide us, protect us, Lord. Just give us the clarity, Lord, to, you know, and the sound quietness to hear your voice as you're speaking to us, to make those right decisions, to listen for your word, Lord. All these things we bring to you in Jesus' name. Amen.